Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Drop down to verse 47, please, of the same chapter. The first man, Adam, is of the earth earthly. The second man, Christ, is the Lord from heaven. There's two other verses I want to look at. One found in Luke chapter 16, just an expression there. Luke's Gospel in chapter 16. And verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Finally, in Revelation, please, in chapter 4, the last book in our Bible. And verse number 1. After this, or after these things, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, or after these things. That's all we'll read, and I trust with the Lord's blessing, with what we have heard, as we like to try to grasp very simply in this meeting, something that might be helpful to you who are not saved. And they're found in expressions that are so full of meaning, and I trust God will help me by His Spirit to point them out, that each one tonight might get located. If I could flash a word up at my left hand and a word up at my right hand, I would put two words. Christ. And as you leave this meeting, you could ask yourself the question, which am I under? Am I under Adam, or am I under Christ? And then I could put two more words, belief those. I could put under Adam, I could put the word hell. And I could put under the word Christ, heaven. For those that die in Adam will be in hell. And those that die in Christ will be in heaven. So the simple message is this. When we come to the gospel, no matter who preaches the gospel, no matter how many times you hear it, it's from different voices, different ways of handling it, but it's the same message. And friend, basically it's this. Our problem in our world, whether it's Vancouver or the East Coast, or no matter what part of our world we travel on planet Earth, our problem is not ethnical. And our problem is not political. And our problem is not religious. And our problem's not financial. And our problem is not social. But our problem is spiritual. That's what it all stems from in our world. The chaotic state of our world, friend, reverts back to man's sin in the Garden of Eden. That's why the world is such a chaos, friend. That's why the gospel needs to be preached in all its living, emancipating power, friend. Because men need to be taken from Adam and put in Christ. You know, friend, the Bible is so clear that, you know, we don't make distinctions in color, class, and creed. The Bible makes just two heads. Adam, Christ. I want to say this very quickly. We all had our commencement in Adam. You know, man is a supremely proud creature. I've found that. Found it in my own heart. I find it wherever I go. There's something about human nature. Something about a human being. There's a pride there that goes with it. They almost, when they hear the gospel in all its simplicity and plainness, they say, well, that is really good for someone. But somehow or other, I am mad. Like, I'm fairly good. I'm kind of honest, and I do the best I can, and I've got a whole lot of alibis to get around. The main issue, friend, that we belong to Adam in Adam family. And because of that, I want to notice three things. Because of my links with Adam, because that's where I come from, that's what I look back to. I don't look back to royal blood, or I don't look back to a rich uncle, or I don't look back to my friend, someone in the past that was of nobility in the family line. I go back to Adam, friend. That's where we all at our commencement. Listen to the Bible. Whereas by one man Adam, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, death passed upon all men, but in all of sin. Because of our links to Adam, friend, and the Adam family, we're marked by death. We're marked by death. No one can refute that. It's absolutely, absolutely obvious, friend, that humanity is marked by death because of our links with Adam. I read of some man coming from this side of the water. No reflection in anyone when I say this. But you know, when they go to the old country, they always like to find out their roots, where they come from. And they like to go into that big place that has all the records and all the data. Scotland or England or Ireland, wherever it might be. They go into that big house that holds all the records of the past. Some of them walk in there with absolute pride. Chest put out and think, boy, you know, I'd like to find out who my great-great-uncle was and who my great-great-grandmother or grandfather. I want to find out, you know, they probably own some great inheritance over there. And they walk in quietly through the big, up the big steps and in through the big door. You want to come out, their heads bowed, some of them. They found out that some of their ancestry runs back to sheep stealers and cattle rustlers. And boy, they come out different than what they went in. Listen, friends, I hope you've got the point. You go back to Adam and you're nothing proud about to look to yourself. You'll acknowledge this one thing. Because of my link to Adam, that's why I need God's salvation. That's why I need the new birth. That's why I need Christ as my Savior. I'm in a wrong family. Because of my links with Adam, it has been mine by inheritance. Sin. Death. Death. That death is not only physical, friend. That's spiritual death. No communication with God. I could get as religious and as pious and as reformed as anyone could be, friend. Humanly speaking. And I wouldn't get one inch to heaven. Not one inch. We're born with spiritual death, friend. No communication. No communication. And I want to tell you who tonight are saved and profess to be saved in this meeting, you're all strangers to me. I know some of you, and it takes me a little while to recollect who you are, but I'm getting you paced little by little. And if I don't smile the first time, I'll smile the second time when I see you and get to know you again. You know, 26 years have passed. Listen, friend, I hope that you will get this very clear. I hope you'll get this very clear. Our links with Adam has caused a spiritual death. And if you want to find out, am I really saved? Am I really born again? I profess, but, you know, I don't get any joy. Could I ask you a question tonight? Can you go into the presence of God when there's no one there but yourself and hold an intimate fellowship with God, the Father, and enjoy Christ? I don't mean say prayers. I don't mean to parrot off something. Friend, everyone that's linked to Christ have a nature that we have been hearing. They can enjoy God. They feast upon God. They love God. They love Christ. Heaven is their habitat. That's what they love, friend. The joy of the Lord fills their soul. They've got something that links them with heaven eternally, friend. It's real. Very real, friend. Marked by death. Marked not only by death because of Adam, but marked by distance. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Distance, friend. Man is at distance from God because of his links with Adam, friend. And he can't bridge that. When sin first raised its ugly head and forced that widening span between the man who walked with God and the God that made the man, the sense of sin came, sense of shame. The guilty sought to hide. Instead of fellowship with God, there came the great. Okay, that's who you are tonight, the meeting. We love you. Oh, I love to preach with tears. We love you, friend. Love your soul. But because you're in Adam, born in Adam, that's the family, friend. That's your family. That was my family by nature. Naturally, friend, because of that, death is passed upon all men. The sentence of death. And my friend, there's a distance from God. You can't make your way back. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God. We're altogether become unprofitable. That's our state in Adam, friend. That's what the Bible says. Have you got that clear tonight? Am I distinct in that? Would the Lord help me to make that clear? Any clearer? Not only, my friend, is there death and distance. You know what happened when man sinned in the garden of it? People don't realize sometimes just what really happened. You know what happened when Adam took that forbidden fruit and sin entered into our world to bring all its absolute chaotic, catastrophic condition that we live in? The soul became depraved. Man became a depraved soul. Couldn't do anything but sin. The spirit that God gave man became dead. Couldn't communicate. You know what else had happened? The mind became darkened. That's why it's hard to penetrate. It takes the gospel. Such was the condition of being an Adam, friend. That's where we are before God. Because of that, my friend, death has entered. Distance has come in. And darkness reigns in the human heart. You know, I preached for 9 weeks with Mr. McElwain, and I don't think there's any clearer, simpler preacher than Mr. McElwain. He may not have been the son, guys. He's a wonderful preacher. But I mean the father. I preached with him for 9 weeks. And he was what I would call just a pioneer. John 3, Romans 3, night after night. And if any of us young fellows, he would have clipped the wings if we went into his evening room and said, hey, come on, get back to the gospel. Simple gospel. And I remember after 9 weeks, this woman was coming night after night sitting up front. And Mr. McElwain said to me, Albert, he says, just ask her tonight, we're coming to the close of the meetings, ask her, has she got anything out of the meetings? Never forget it. I said, it's so nice to see you coming every night, you've been a faithful attender 9 weeks. I said, did you get anything in the meetings? Oh, she said, I feel so much better, mister. She said, it's really lovely. Well, back to Mr. McElwain, I said, this is what she told me. Never forget the dear man yet. God bless his memory. He said, you know, what are we really preaching? He said, what are we really preaching? That woman never got one thing. My friend, you could come to all the meetings in Ruben's life. And the preaching would be as plain, and God could be gracious to help us to tell the message clear and plain. And we could tell it with tears and feeling and power and impact if God helped us, friend. And you could go out through the door night after night, coming in your sins, and nothing has penetrated, and nothing has reached you, friend. That's because of you being in Adam. My friend, what a difference. You know, to die in Adam is a tragedy. Now, I'm just going to touch this, but very briefly. To die in Adam means to be in hell. That's some friend. No matter how close that friend is to me, no matter whether it's a brother or a sister, and I say it with tenderness, no matter one in the family, if they die in Adam, friend, in hell. That's solemn. That's tragic.
I don't like to preach in that word.
And that is because I'm getting older. I don't know. I feel we must feel the impact of the temptation. Hell comes.
We sometimes sing, hell is darkness deep and awful. Turn, poor sinner, turn and flee. Heaven is light, all brightens joyfully. And it's lightly shaded me. I preached in Iowa.
Never forget a young man there. He'd come to meetings with some of the men that had been preaching, his father, mother, and me. And as he was going to those meetings, he got disturbed. He had a dear friend come along.
She was only about 15, 16 years of age. He was about 18.
And he turned away from the gospel at that time. She turned his mind to something else. And he forgot about the whole gospel he preached. We went there for meetings later, but you know, something happened in the truth that caused all the difference. You know what it was? That young man worked for a Christian in a big implement shed. He sold John Deere tractors and John Deere combines.
And he was showing, Deere DeWayne was showing the customers how this great machine operates. Whatever happened, they don't really know. Some mistake, whether some fault in the machinery, but he put his hand in to touch at the point of something in there, the wheels that were turning and the belt that was turning, and his hand caught in the belt. And it took him right in.
Just went in the middle. And he screeched out, oh, help, help. And he took his arm off and he just... The blood came spurting out of the main artery. The boss came running out when he heard the shrieks and the rest of the folks come out. And there's the man weaving in the ground. What are you saying now? Don't let me die and go to hell.
Now friend, that was real. That was not put on now. That was not playing games or playing church. That wasn't saying, well, someday, somehow, I make it to heaven, friend. That was real. The boys died.
Turn to hell then. And then Arthur, the ambulance come along, that man, and my boy went down that road with two nurses in the back. He kept crying, just crying, pleading. He says, oh God, take back his time today. It's real, friend.
I never forget that boy when I went up the road. They tried to get him out to meetings. I loved it. They fella loved every inch of him.
And I went up there. He's holding two buckets. And his back is facing me. And he turned right around. I'll never forget that day. It's just like yesterday. He said, Mr. Hall, you don't even have to ask me to come. I made up my mind that I'm going to go to those meetings. You were the God somebody. You brought me through this.
And friend, I hope in these meetings God will so stir your heart that you'll not just say, well, another meeting tomorrow night. Somehow or other, yes, we'll try to get to the meetings. I hope with all my heart, with our brethren and sisters praying earnestly that God will put within you something that was never there before. You know what it is? I want God's submission at all costs. I don't want to die and be lost eternally. I don't want to come to the end of the journey out of Christ without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder in a wild and stormy sea? I don't want to die without a Savior, friend.
You may well live well, but when it comes to the end and you've no Christ. Oh.
Let me turn the coin just for 3 minutes, about 4 minutes. In Christ. You know what that means? There are three things that means to me. Number one, in Christ is stronger.
Shepherd.
In Christ is security. And in Christ, friend,
satisfaction. I want you to leave with that, friend.
To be in Christ. Someone says, how am I going to get to this place? I'm in Adam. How can I get into Christ? Friend, you turn to the Lord Jesus to recognize my plight in Adam is this. I can't save myself. I can do absolutely nothing. I'm totally depraved and lost. My religion goes. My own thinking goes. I stand before God condemned. I am guilty. In Adam, death,
distance and darkness. When I look to Christ, I find shelter.
I remember as a little boy, and I'm not old.
I remember as a little boy, I was just about 7, 8 years of age when those Germans were coming over
Ireland, devastating the city of Belfast, and we were taken out to a little place called Newry,
where I was brought up most of my life. I remember those sirens blasting when we were at the schoolroom.
Those long drones that always terrified the little hearts of the children. And the teachers would say, right, boys and girls, down Brooks Head for the Irish shelter.
And I remember our little legs with all our thin and bigger, every muscle strained, as we ran rapidly as that iron door was pulled back and we rushed right in. Shelter. I'll never forget when the teacher said, that sin Jesus loves me, this I know, but the Bible tells me so.
And they sang little choruses.
I don't put you calm in that little shelter. So you're all right, the bombs that they drop. This will sustain the bombs. You're sheltered in here.
Friend, 38 years ago.
Oh, see, oh, happy shelter. Oh, refuge, kind of street. That night on that roadside, a poor, trembling, dark sinner on the road to hell.
No hope. I remember saying, oh God, there's no way out for me. I just have to go to hell. In that dark moment, friend, it dawned upon me, Jesus paid it all. He died for nothing. You don't have to be in hell. That night I sheltered. What a shelter, friend.
Do you remember when it happened to you?
Boy, I love preaching in Hatboro.
There's an old man there about 96. Half old man.
I was telling them they're about getting saved, and I said,
you know, it's wonderful to be saved. I saved 37 years, I was 37 there, and I said, there's a man down there that pointed the deer pop home. I said, that man down there is a joke about the, I forget, man. He was getting up with a suit and going to come up to the platform and tell
him. I thought, I had to go quick to keep going. I said, all right, pal, we'll get it later on.
Oh, I hope, friend, that you had a moment when God saved you, when you scattered yonder at the cross and recognized yonder at Calvary became my substitute, my sin bearer, the one that took my judgment upon the cross. The storm broke on him instead of breaking on me.
He became my shelter. You got him? My security. My friend, there's not too much security.
I don't read the newspaper too much. Mr. Ramsey Price said, he used to say, reading in one book is about the best way to do it.
Because it's always, you know, it's always doom and gloom.
The financial markets are going and tumbling.
And this is crashing and that's crashing.
And you look at the papers you read.
Friend, listen. The man that has got Christ, he's got security for eternity. I love it. I love it.
God himself sometimes the people saying hallelujah. Depending on the blood.
And the old woman was right. When they broke in through the old door, the plague went through London, sweeping and taking people out. Then it dozens. Hit by that awful plague. The dear gentleman got in there trying to pick up the dead and see if there's anyone alive. Stumbled through the door and up the old rickety stairs, wooden stairs, and the old door's half on its hinges got into the old bedroom. Anyone home?
He peeked through the door, and there was a woman lying in the old pig mattress, dying of consumption, coming to the end.
He says, can I help you, my lady? She says,
sir, I have paid what want I more. That's what was spoken to that dear woman dying, what security, friend.
On that rock, friend of ages, that soul at rest shall never, never perish. Thank God, security, satisfaction in Christ,
satisfaction. I want to tell you something. I've never met a Christian in the mind of the cold, or far away from God. I've never met a Christian that would ever tell you, I'm dissatisfied with him. Never.
Oh, my friend, 10,000 charms are in him, Shane, best of all.
I know he's mine. I can take him up yonder to the stairway before I go to bed, and I can get down and thank him for dying for me. I can rise in the morning and praise him for his love. I can go through the day.
Don't close your eyes when you're driving a car, but I'll tell you sometimes it's worth the soul.
And I miss a city like this. I'm not often in a big city, you know.
When I go through the big cities and see the cars running here and running there, and the lights going on, and dazzling bright, I say, God, thank God I'm safe in this place.
You see it?
This is. You know, when I'm enjoying that, I want to touch the things of the fridge. I've got to put in a jack on that.
Are you glad you're going to heaven?
You say you are. If you're not saved, you should be miserable tonight. Your sins on the road to eternal judgment. No hope beyond, no heart away. Your story tossed better, you might see. I'm the Christ tonight.
Dear woman from the Orient had just come home with her husband.
You heard of you. This 1987, is that the big changeover?
They come here, they lost a lot, they come.
The two of them were working feverishly. It happened to be they bought a house, a condominium, and it was beside a Christian, and a Christian got them out to the meetings.
And they were coming and doing without their supper to get to the meetings.
Doing without their supper. She had to work to make ends meet, and he was working. And they were come just about 5 minutes after, I don't mind that, 5 minutes, I don't care if they're even 10 minutes as long as they come after the 10. I said, come. We'll make you welcome here, friend. You come. No matter who you are, what you are, where you are, your background, no matter my friend, your culture, class, or creed.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well,
preaching night after night, I wondered how we were getting on. And one night I noticed she'd struck her husband in the ribs. It's not a good thing to do, but she did it. I didn't turn around. And she just was telling me something.
And the man that was preaching, he kept repeating, you see, are you saved? Are you saved?
Are you really saved? Are you sure you're saved? And he stopped all of a sudden. And was not interval, I stopped it. And she said to her husband, she told me this afterwards, she said, I said to my husband, I wish you would just say once more, are you saved? And I would stand up and say, thank God, I just got it.
Well, my friend,
I hope tonight God in making this will touch your poor soul tonight to look to the cross and recognize at Calvary, that's the answer to my sin. Nothing in my hand I bring. I can do absolutely nothing. I'm bankrupt. I rest upon what God says.
Christ died for the ungodly. Shall we pray?
Our Father, we bow in thy presence and thank thee for the gospel. And the wonderful message from this teacher to this dear religious man, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that night, that dear gentleman trusted alone in the word of Christ, received eternal life, became a new creature in Christ. We thank you for those in this meeting who have left Adam and have entered into the Christ family. We bless the Lord for salvation, the death of Christ in the place of the guilty. And Lord, we thank thee tonight, those who are not saved in this meeting who are still exposed to death, still at a distance, still, Lord, in darkness, they could look to Christ tonight and trust in the Redeemer's blood, accept the value of his work, rest on his word. O Lord, we pray that this meeting, souls will be touched by God and brought to the Savior. Help us all as we leave to pray earnestly for God's blessing as we return thanks for thy Son and for the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to sing a verse of number 87. Number 87, thank you for coming. Come back again nightly. Appreciate it very much. In the prayers of the Lord's people as we continue. Number 87, and we'll sing verse number 2.
And verse 3. First 2 and 3 of number 87, and the meeting is concluded.